Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Natali et al. Titled, Voluntary Exercise Delays Heart Failure Onset in Rats with Pulmonary Artery Hypertension. This article published online May 22, 2015, as part of our call for papers on exercise training in cardiovascular disease, mechanisms, and outcomes. Joining me today are guest editor Sean Bender, lead author Ed White, and content expert Daphne Merkus. Let's get started.
Well, thank you, Kara, and thank you both Ed and Daphne for joining in this podcast today. The benefit of exercise training and physical activity to reduce the progression of and mortality associated with cardiovascular diseases is widely recognized. Thus, numerous exercise guidelines have been formulated for the management and treatment of patients with most cardiovascular diseases. One cardiovascular disease notably absent of such guidelines, however, is pulmonary arterial hypertension. This rapid report manuscript addresses aspects of this issue in a rat model of pulmonary hypertension. Ed, could you please briefly summarize the rationale for the study, how it was conducted, and the main findings of your study?
Hi, Sean and Daphne. First of all, thank you very much for the opportunity to discuss our work. I'd like to acknowledge my co-workers, in particular Professor Antonio Natali from the University of Bicosta in Brazil. So, as you point out, although exercise is recommended for many cardiovascular conditions, there is reluctance to promote exercise in pulmonary hypertension, with some human and animal data supporting the proposal that exercise can be detrimental in this condition. We decided to test whether voluntary wheel running exercise could be beneficial in rats that develop pulmonary artery hypertension and right ventricular failure. So male rats were given a single injection of monocrotaline, which is an agent which induces pulmonary artery hypertension and right ventricular failure, or a saline control. Rats were assigned to sedentary groups or were given free access to running wheels. The monocrotaline-treated animals were euthanized when they developed external signs of heart failure, and control animals were taken on equivalent days. We found that access to running wheels didn't prevent the development of heart failure, but did significantly delay the median time to heart failure. The contractile response of the right ventricular myocytes to increased demand was tested by increasing stimulation frequency from 1 hertz up to 7 hertz. The control myocytes displayed a flattish biphasic response. So when stimulation frequency was increased, there was initially a small increase in contractility and then a small decrease at the faster rates. However, in the failing animals, there was a steep negative relationship. This effect was not seen in the exercising monocrotaline animals that we euthanized before the onset of failure. So at an equivalent time point, the exercised animals had preserved contractile profile. So the main findings of the study would be that voluntary exercise can delay the onset of pulmonary artery induced heart failure and the contractile remodeling of single myocytes.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Ed, for that summary and for pointing out the main findings of the study. So, Daphne, you have experience in large animal models utilizing exercise as a stressor, and in other exercise training studies. What do you see as the major strengths of this study?
I think the major strength of this study is that it's voluntary wheel running, which is less stress and more physiological than other exercise modalities have used, in which the rats are running on a treadmill. So I think the voluntary wheel running, in combination with the well-defined groups that Ed just mentioned, are very, very a strength of this study.
Yeah, and that brings up an interesting point, Daphne. And Ed, I think perhaps you'd agree that in some ways in the literature, these voluntary wheel running models are a bit more difficult to quantitatively get a handle on as far as what the stress actually is for the animal. Do you have any sense of what a comparable level of physical activity would be in humans?
In this particular study, we didn't measure the exercise intensity. So I think you would need the VO2 max to be able to titrate what your exercise level is. In previous studies, we have an idea that the running speed of the animals is round about 14 meters per minute, and I think that might equate to round about 50% VO2 max for the animals. So if we put that in human terms, that I would say that that is someone with an active lifestyle, maybe doing the occasional bout of mild exercise. So in the context of exercise studies with pulmonary artery hypertension, there's been a very recent meta-analysis study by Dr. Berry's lab in Dallas, and they've found that the exercise level used in those studies, which gave beneficial effects to the sufferers of pulmonary hypertension, was between 60 and 80% of VO2 max. So I think our rats are below their anaerobic threshold, whereas in the human, the studies of pulmonary hypertension, they may be at or slightly above their anaerobic threshold.
It brings up an interesting point, Ed, in that your study differed in some ways, not only in the mode of exercise that was utilized, but also the timing of exercise. The results that you found with giving voluntary wheel running at the timing that you did compared to a previous study was that the previous study that used treadmill exercise and more of a treatment design demonstrated that exercise may reduce survival in a similar model of hypertension. So could you reconcile your findings a little bit or speculate on what may account for the disparate findings between your study and the previous work?
I think the previous observations may have been influenced by this later introduction of exercise. The monocrotaline model can develop heart failure within 3 weeks of treatment. So if you begin your exercise 14 days post monocrotaline, it gives a short window of opportunity for exercise benefits to manifest. And then if you compound that with the treadmill running regime, which imposes this unnatural mode of locomotion on rodents, and the loss of control over locomotion, I think you could produce a negative stress response. We were aware of the rapid onset of the heart failure in this model, and also that with the voluntary running, the animals take maybe a week for their running distances to develop. So one of the reasons that we started the exercise early was to give the exercise some time to have beneficial effects.
Also now with the knowledge in patient populations about more about risk factors and genetic predisposition, it might also be a chance for human studies to start exercising early, maybe even before the PH develops, or might more in a preventive mode of work.
Great, that's fantastic. So Daphne, I'll ask you as the content expert, where do you think this study fits in the context of current literature, and what do you think it adds to the current literature?
Well, I think the topic of exercise training in pulmonary hypertension is very important and hot at this moment. One of the important concerns was in these patients groups that during exercise, the right ventricle would have insufficient strength to pump the cardiac output through the pulmonary vasculature during exercise, and therefore that the right ventricle might fail acutely. Only this year, I think, a number of meta-analyses were published that show that exercise training in humans with pulmonary arterial hypertension or CTEF is safe, and it does improve VO2 max. So I think these animal studies help us understand what's actually happening in these patients with pulmonary hypertension. Well, I have one question. The stimulation frequency you use are from about 1 hertz to 7 hertz. How does that relate to the actual exercise heart rates that the rats achieve?
So I'd sort of say 5 to 6 hertz might be a resting heart rate in a rat. And during exercise on the running wheels, it can go up to 8 hertz. So that would be the physiological range. So the higher rates that we were stimulating the myocytes at are falling into the in vivo stimulation frequencies or heart rates that you would see in rats. But single myocytes are quite different to the whole heart, and we would typically stimulate the single myocytes at lower frequencies. So it would be difficult to stimulate single myocytes for prolonged periods of time at greater than 5 hertz. They don't like it.
What do you think are the implications of this study in regard to the kind of major premise that was presented, that there is a lack of evidence in the literature regarding whether exercise or activity should be prescribed to patients with pulmonary hypertension?
I think there is growing evidence in the literature that exercise therapy is beneficial in pulmonary hypertension, but those studies are short-term, and I think there's still a lack of large multi-center trials monitoring long-term outcomes. So there's still a lot of caution in the use of exercise in pulmonary hypertension. And I think one problem is that there's no off-the-shelf package for exercise volume and modality. So I was reading an updated treatment algorithm which states that supervised exercise by experienced centers is now recommended for pulmonary hypertension, but also in the same algorithm that strenuous physical activity should be avoided. So how do you reconcile those two statements?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there is, even in most forms of heart failure in which there is more known about exercise training as an efficacious way of treatment, even in those forms of heart failure, there is little knowledge about whether to do high intensity training versus endurance training and what is high intensity training. The other thing I think that we should realize in patients with pulmonary hypertension is that very mild exercise might already be a very big stressor for them. Well, I have one more question. Did you also look at the right ventricle like more histologically? Because now we focus so much on the myocytes themselves and on how their function changes, but the myocytes are embedded in an extracellular matrix, for example.
No, we haven't looked at those things in this particular study. That would be, I think, where we go next. But certainly the things that you suggest would be things to look at next. One thing that we did see was that with the animals that were treated with monoclotaline but taken before failure, their hearts were intermediate between the failing hearts and the control hearts. So there did seem to be some regression of the hypertrophy, but as to mechanisms and the effects on fibrosis at the moment, we're not sure.
Well, thank you, Ed and Daphne, for joining us today in this discussion. And I know you'll all enjoy this article from Ed's group by Natali et al., currently online ahead of print in AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. Back to you, Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.